This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is an excerpt from my cable TV show, Talk with TQ. This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Tonight, I'm so happy. I have, once again, one of my favorite guests, and I like to refer to her as a friend of the show. Her name is Ambika Devi. The reason I'm having her back on because she speaks about a lot of things that many of us are very intrigued by. In particular, tonight, I want to talk about astrology and the fact that we're on the cusp of Halloween. Now, I know Halloween as being a period of time that happens once a year, where many say the veil is very thin between our world and the afterlife. I don't know if I'm using the exact right terms, but I have a feeling that most of you know what I'm talking about. It's very intriguing to me, and I know in this country, in the United States, I'll say to our listeners and viewers that are from not in this country, it's a holiday that's not really an official holiday, but it is celebrated. It's on the eve of All Souls Day. So on Halloween, we do things that are considered kind of scary, kind of spiritual. And Ambika, being someone that's into astrology, I felt compelled to ask her, why is this holiday fall in the sign of Scorpio? So those of us that know a little about astrology know that we're in Scorpio season. Scorpio is a very deep sign, and I know that Ambika herself is a Scorpio, and I'm going to ask her to talk all about it. So welcome back, Ambika. I'm so excited that you're here.
Oh, I am too. Thank you so much, Toni. It's always a pleasure to be chatting with you.
Pleasure's all mine. So talk to us about this. I know you definitely have things to contribute to this conversation because I'm intrigued by the whole idea of Halloween in Scorpio season.
First of all, let's get clear on which system we're talking about. So we're using tropical astrology, which is based on the seasonal changes. So we're talking about the equinoxes and the solstices. And this forms the wheel of the year that we're using when we measure where Scorpio is. Now, when I'm teaching my students, I even back them up from the names of the signs and start with just the numbers 1 through 12. Because if we disassociate from these iconic ideas of a scorpion or a sea goat or twins, and we just look at numbers, it becomes a lot easier to back up a bit and understand these 30-degree sectors. So we use a wheel, a 360-degree wheel. We have 12 signs, 1 through 12, and each has 30 degrees. There's a lot of math involved. I'll try not to get too math heady with everybody today. Now, Scorpio, the sign of Scorpio traditionally rules the eighth house in the chart. And the eighth house is ruled by the planet Pluto. Yes, when I was most of your ages listening, Pluto was a planet. And now it's been downgraded, but we astrologers who use the tropical system still use Pluto as the ruler, the modern ruler of Scorpio. Mars is the ancient ruler of Scorpio. So Scorpio shares that rulership with Aries of Mars. So each sign has a planet. They each inhabit a house together. So a planet goes in a sign in a house. This creates what's called a signature. The eighth house, Scorpio and Pluto, represent death as one of the things that they represent. So All Souls Eve, of course, it has to take place during Scorpio.
So, of course, it has to take place during that time.
It absolutely does. Yes.
So explain to me why Pluto is no longer a planet.
The scientific community responsible for naming planets or denoting whether something's an asteroid or an ice body decided this. So when Pluto was discovered, it was immediately given the title of planet, but it's quite small. And it is an ice body. So ice bodies could be comets that no longer have their tail. This has always been a bit of a rumble in the astronomical community, the astronomers. But when Pluto was made a planet, it immediately was given to Scorpio because Scorpio traditionally was ruling death, whereas the other side of Mars is force and drive and desire. Scorpio represents gain from other people. So, and also commerce being passed from other people. It's degeneration. So wearing things down and decomposing. It's generation. So growth and birth are barked by this energy of Scorpio, and regeneration. So all of these things belong in this eighth house and to Scorpio. The reason why we say a Scorpio season has to do with the new moon and the way the moon interacts with our central star, which we call the sun.
Yeah, people don't realize the sun. A lot of people don't realize the sun is a star. It's not a planet. That little fundamental thing I know. So when you say like an ice body, can an ice body actually melt away? Can it?
I would imagine, but space doesn't have the same kind of radiation as in a distance from a central star like our sun. So Pluto's out there pretty far. It's in a gravitational pull around our sun on what's called the ecliptic. This is, think of it kind of like a dinner plate shape equator that goes out in space around our sun. And the planets can go only so high or so low from that equator, from our perspective view. When the moon is crossing a certain angle, this is what creates eclipses. And it has to do with the tilt of our planet as we rotate around the sun. This is calculus.
Yeah, no, I can tell that there's a lot of math. There's a lot of, it sounds like a lot of geometry involved.
It's calculus, actually. There is geometry within a chart, because when we look at a chart, it's 360 degrees flat on a paper. So yes, the aspects, the angles between planets, if you're using asteroids, which I do use some, I even use mathematical points in space. So when people first see the charts that I read, and they may have seen many other astrologers before, or maybe they've begun study on their own, they usually gasp because over the years I have created my own system and what I use to answer questions and guide my clients. I like to think of it like a roadmap, and I'm your navigator helping you through it.
You'll need a navigator. So Scorpio, just it's one sign, okay? Now people associate certain characteristics to certain astrological signs. I can't help but wonder, did Aristotle consider personality characteristics based on when somebody was born and the position of the stars and the planets in the sky?
I wish I could answer that, but I didn't sit with Aristotle, so I don't feel good at answering that. But what I can say from my studies, there were some other people from that time, because back at the time of the Agora, which was the great library that was destroyed, there was a female scientist, and there is a great movie called Agora that talks about her life. And she was the one who figured out that planets don't move in perfect circles. This attribute was given to a male scientist, a male philosopher at the time. But it was actually a woman who figured out that these planets that at the time they called them the travelers, because the stars appear to be fixed, which we call them fixed points. Everything is moving in space towards the great attractor, which is a central point pulling us. That is the black hole energy that we move in a river of space towards. And she figured out that what were called the travelers actually were moving in ellipses, more like a football shape, without the points.
I'm very intrigued by the fact that I've noticed that more people are getting into spiritual thought, more into this, I guess, I don't know what to call it. They're getting more into the fact that we are beings, we are energy beings, not just, you know, we're like, what do they say? We're actually people living within it.
We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Right, exactly. I find that in my life, I'm finding there are a lot of people, more and more people are starting to think that way. People that poo-pooed things like astrology and numerology are taking it more seriously, or they're trying to learn about it. I imagine that, especially since we've been going through this this nearly 3 year situation collectively, I imagine that you get a lot of calls. You should.
It all depends on the individual. And certainly there are many, many people out there talking about astrology, but how many have really studied? I actually went to university level and received a degree in tropical astrology. I also studied Jyotisha, which is often referred to as Vedic astrology, extensively for more than a decade. I did not receive the same kind of university degree in that, but had a very similar education in it. So I do cross compare and I do use some things from both. I did experience this last week at a networking function where there are bankers and all different kinds of business owners. And I have to say, I've been a part of this particular group for 14 years. 14 years ago, if I had said astrology, they might have pushed me out the door. They wouldn't have accepted me. I presented myself as a coach. But the other night, last week, here I was, and a banker came up to me. And he even said this, Tony. He said, you know, if you had asked me 3 years ago what I thought of energy or even the word astrology, I would have walked away from you. But now I'm fascinated. Now I want to understand more. And he did refer to these 3 years we've been through. So it has moved some people and shaken a bit loose. The thing is, we've accepted yoga here in this country, right? Many people see it as a stretchy pants yoga program, but it is a huge philosophy. And then we've also begun to embrace Ayurveda, which is a sister science to yoga. And now I believe we're bringing in the third and final sister, which is Jyotisha, which is astrology. So when Deepak Chopra coined the phrase body, mind, spirit, which we've all heard, and I think many of us have used in sentences or have been attracted to books or lectures on the topic, what this is a direct translation of these three sisters. You see, Ayurveda is for the body and the physical space, what to eat, how to have your environment, what kind of music to listen to, what kind of exercise program, what kind of meditation, what kind of chanting is good for you. Yoga is for the mind. Aha, so we brought it here as a stretchy pants exercise program, but its main goal is to quieten the mind so that one can meditate. So we can think of yoga as equaling meditation. And Jyotisha is for the spirit. So there we have Ayurveda, yoga, Jyotisha, body, mind, spirit.
Oh, there you go. You made it so succinct.
I just want people to understand there's nothing to be frightened of. It is a timekeeper. It's like being afraid of a clock. You see, we have different ways of telling time. First of all, we're using a particular calendar system that is one moon off. We have 13 lunations in a year, but we have 12 calendar months. That's why we have a blue moon or a black moon within a month during the year. A black moon is a double new moon. We can look at these double moons as either the moon is doing the same either new moon or full moon aspect of its cycle, or it could be in the same sign, like perhaps an August that has two Leo new moons.
I've noticed also, I've heard the term blue moon. You know, people say like once in a blue moon. And what that means, I know what that means. That means when you have a full moon twice in the same month.
Or it could also mean within a certain aspect or quadrant of the chart. It really is a little more mathematical than that. Because when the moon is moving, let's talk about lunations so that we understand that. A new moon is when the moon is traveling close to the sun, so we can't see it in the sky. It's rising and setting with the sun. So if the moon is rising and setting with the sun, we don't see it. That's why it kind of disappears for a day and a half. And then the full moon is when the sun is setting and the moon is rising. Remember, that's when they're opposite each other. This is from our perspective on our planet Earth.
And you know, I noticed also, because I've always been fascinated with the sky, I'm one of these people that goes outside every day and walks to look at how the sky and the water changes where I walk every day. It's different. It's so fascinating. I've noticed that in looking at the sky and looking at even a sunset, there are times when you just don't see it. Like you went the next day and it's just not there. It has nothing to do with the clouds.
What's not there?
Well, you know, sometimes you walk, let's say you'll go by it at like a certain time every day. I mean, I try to vary my timing, but there's times when I know if I go at this time during the day, I can usually guarantee I'm going to see a certain thing in the sky, a certain pattern of even in the daytime or at night. But once in a while you go and it's like you're there the same time and you look up, it's just not there. You know, I'm not saying it should be, but I don't see it. I'm not saying, and maybe it's there, I'm just not seeing it.
I suggest for that, using an app to watch the sky. That will help you orient yourself in the canopy that seemingly spins around us, but it's really because of the way we're spinning.
We're spinning.
Yes, and the way we're moving. So we have to remember, if this is the sun central and this is the Earth over here, there are relationships between that, and then circling around the Earth is the moon. So these create angles and vision paths. So yes, I mean, sometimes you see the moon in the morning sky, sometimes the afternoon sky. Sometimes there is no moon present because you're sleeping when that little bit of moon is up in the sky. And it just depends because of the cycle of the moon in relationship to everything else.
No, it's fascinating also, and I wonder if you could speak about this with regard to astrology. I've always wondered. There are a lot of planets up there, and I've been known to occasionally go with a telescope or binoculars and take a really good look. And I noticed that there are a lot of moons around the other planets. It's like Jupiter's got a whole bunch of moons.
Mm-hmm. And so does Saturn. That's what makes the rings.
What's up with that? Why do they get extra?
I mean, really? That's a good question. We would have to ask the scientists who speculate on that, because even though we shoot probes up and we shoot telescopes up, like the one that's up there, the big one that just recently went up, we are still speculating until we're really out there or talk to somebody who knows. I feel that it's all speculation. I respect the research and the fascination. But when it comes to astrology, we're talking about the ancients. For instance, when I was in Mexico, and I've been there many times because I've taught down there when I used to live in Arizona, it was quite easy to travel down there for work. And I had the opportunity when I was working in Cancun to take a day trip to Chichen Itza. And Chichen Itza has a huge ruin of an observatory. I've also been to Chaco Canyon in the southwest of the United States. Again, much of that is oriented to events like eclipses, solstices. And in the desert where I used to live in Arizona, there are petroglyphs that when certain events like solstices, and equinoxes, which are important for timekeeping, which is, again, remember I said this is the basis of the timekeeper that is tropical astrology. So this is important for things like farming, because we need to know when to sow and when to harvest, right? And when to let something rest. And these ancient cultures were so tuned into it. Maybe Chaco Canyon, just having one little slit in a wall where the light will come in at a specific moment and beam on a carving on the other wall. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I love to think about that. I think it's interesting when you talk about farming and you talk about harvesting and really using the sky to figure out when to do one or the other. I think about a chart, like I don't know how many moons, I don't remember how many moons are in, let's say, the planet Saturn. So someone, let's say, is born under the sign of Capricorn, which I believe is ruled by Saturn, I believe.
Yes, you're correct.
And so I wonder if when somebody does a chart, an astrological chart about, let's say, a baby that's born under the sign of Capricorn, they're looking at just the whole planet, but are the moons taken into consideration?
No, because remember, we're doing it from a perspective point. So if we're doing heliocentric astrology, we're imagining the sun is the center of the chart. If we're doing geocentric, which is what I use, meaning the earth as the center, that's why we're treating the sun like a planet, because we're imagining the sun is rotating around us, because it's from our perspective view. So an astrological chart uses three very important bits of data in order to be created. We need the date with the month, the day, and the year. We need the hour and exact minute of an event. So that is why you can't come to a professional astrologer and say, I was born around 4 p.m. No, because we only have 360 degrees. Every 4 minutes on Earth equals 1 degree in space. So this math works out with 24 hours in a day. We have 30 possible degrees for each sign, 360 degrees for the circle. That is why if you give me an around time, I can't be accurate. It's useless to me. I can give you a little bit. Say you have your full data, including date, time with hour and minutes, and the location, because I need latitude and longitude to place you on the Earth for the geocentric perspective view. So it's very, very important to have all of these. And then we're looking at how things are moving in relationship to where you began. So that's your blueprint that you're starting from. And then the transits, or what's going on in the current sky or at any given event. And we have many different lengths of time which create patterns. Of course, each month we have a lunation of our moon. Why do we use our moon and not Saturn's? Because our moon is rotating around us. When we're looking out at Saturn in the sky, we're not calculating all those little moons. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for that. And it just makes it even more fascinating and more complicated.
Well, I can tell you something about the complicated nature of this, Tony. In India, there's a saying that it takes three lifetimes to be a sitar player, a very difficult instrument. It takes nine lifetimes to be an astrologer. That's to get started.
Okay, so you've been here before. Okay.
Apparently.
Apparently. It sounds like you have been.
In that theory system, yes.
I find it extraordinarily fascinating. I always have, as I think I shared with you, is that my grandfather, who wasn't like into what he would refer to as like the hocus pocus and stuff, but he would indulge me and I'd get the little books on astrology and sit with me and I'd tell him things that I learned in the book. And he was fascinated by what I was telling him. And it was interesting that a lot of it was very much true. I'll just say to the audience, you know, the naysayers, if they've gotten this far through the interview, is always remember there are a lot of people that really are into mostly the Christian Judeo way of thinking and believing and all of that stuff. I always remember that there was a North Star. There were shepherds that followed the star. There were three wise men that were magis, they called them. And I believe that at least one of them was an astrologer.
Oh, they were all astrologers, I'm sure, because that was not the North Star. It's likely that was a comet.
That makes sense.
There are people who have looked into that, but that was not the North Star. No, the North Star is used for guidance on the ocean and trekking on land. But as far as that particular time frame, that was most likely a comet.
Okay, so it's like a comet.
But that can look like a star, right? You know, I mean, a comet can.
Yes, that's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that. And it really puts everything in a different perspective in terms of the way you think about it. I'm really fascinated by this and the fact that you can do these readings. And it's obvious that you're very much into the intricacies of the mathematics of all of this. So if someone wants to contact you to get an astrological reading, are you open to that?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I mainly do for my coaching business. Because utilizing astrology, I've helped so many clients over the decades. I've been practicing since the 70s. I graduated from school in 2003 with a college degree, but I had already been practicing. As soon as I graduated, I was on TV as a relationship expert astrologer, and I began writing for newspapers and periodicals.
So if anybody wants to get some a reading, and you could probably do a lot of things by having their chart, how can they contact you? What's the best way to contact you?
The best way is directly through my site, which is ambikadevi.com, ambikadevi.com, ambikadevi.com.
ambikadevi.com, and then you can actually reach out to Ambika directly, y'all, and then you can get yourself a really excellent astrological reading.
Well, let's talk about what goes on in that a little bit, because just getting a reading may be confusing. But so what I'd like to share with everyone is that during a session, one of my favorite things that happens, especially with somebody who might be a little skeptical, or perhaps they come to me because they've had other sessions and they just didn't feel like they got in depth or understood. So it's really important for me to teach so that my clients understand what's going on to the level that they feel comfortable. It is a great way for understanding your potentials. I don't really use the word fate. I don't consider it fated, because you might want something and it may be a little more challenging, but then it's my job as your astrologer to help find the strengths inside of you to help you make that happen. You may have struggled with an idea. I've had many clients who during sessions with me have said, wow, I have been struggling with this all my life, and you just clarified it in such a way that I accept myself as I am now. That's the most beautiful, when people start to and realize that they're being who they came to be. It is kind of like a dance card. There are certain things we are meant to go through. There are periods of time. There are challenges, but there are also great periods of time. And as your astrologer, it's my job to help you navigate and negotiate the speed bumps. Also, if you want to do something or move or start a business or end a relationship, or you're going through a situation where you want to know, when can this potentially shift for me? These are great reasons to see an astrologer, and also just to get more clued in to who you are and how you are. Another fascinating thing that comes from Jyotish, from the Far Eastern Vedic astrology, is tattooed in there, as if tattooed on your soul, is a particular mantra, a sound, a bija sound that you can use to help clear your mind and to help clear your spirit and to help rejuvenate you. And this is held in information about where the moon was when you were born.
The moon.
Our moon, our Earth's moon.
Our moon, our earthly moon here. And so on that note, we're going to segue into the next interview I do with you, which will be very, very soon. And we're going to talk about astrology and gratitude and all that kind of stuff. I wish we had another 2 hours to talk about this because I am just like charged up. I love what you talk about. And I thank you again, Amika, for coming on the show. You just have this plethora of information. I love talking to and presenting you to my very, very valuable and precious audience. And this is like just one of several more interviews to come. You've given a lot of food for thought, and I thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Toni. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the end.
No, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. Yeah, and I thank everybody for tuning into this episode, the Energy Stoners Cafe. And Amika Devi will be coming back to talk with us more and give us more insight on who we're supposed to be.
Let's say who we came to be.
We came here to be. That's right, exactly. And as a life coach, I thank you. And I really appreciate you opening up our minds and our spirit. Thank you so much, Amika. And thank you to the audience. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next time. And as I always promise, I'll bring the most interesting people I can find on the planet. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.